Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and it's getting toward the time of year where everyone starts making their end-of-year lists, something we'll do next week, looking at both the hits and misses in music of this year. Now, one reason everybody does this is it's actually pretty easy. After all, we've heard the albums, read the reviews, we've seen what's on the charts, everything's right there. But predicting the big stories of next year? That takes guts. I was going to say something else, but I'll go with guts. Melissa Locker of Time Magazine's website has guts, or a crystal ball, and she says we'll be hearing a lot from this singer next year. That is Betty Who. I kind of hope she doesn't become a big hit in 2014. Nothing against the young Australian-born New York-based singer, but can you imagine the dreadful puns? Betty Who? Betty Who, that's who. Music journalism would just devolve into a big Abbott and Costello Who's on First routine. Anyway, Melissa Locker will tell us who else, see what I mean? Who else to watch out for next year? And in our live performance today, singer, pianist, and performance artist Joseph Koeckler will make a case for watching his stage show next year. It's called I Am an Opera. But first, let's look ahead at a big music event in January that will look back at the big music releases of this year. Sipping from your cup till it runneth over. Holy Grail. Blue told me remind you. Y'all talking about, I'm the, caught up in all these lights and cameras, but look what that dish hit the hammer. Last week, the nominations for the 56th Annual Grammy Awards were announced with a live telecast concert on CBS. And leading the pack this year with 9 nominations is rapper Jay-Z, who released his album Magna Carta Holy Grail this past summer. And joining me now from the Washington Post with his take on the Grammys is music critic Chris Richards. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So, Jay-Z, 9 nominations, but none in the big 4 categories. What do you make of that?
It's very interesting, isn't it? I sound like a broken record here, and I know I've talked about this on Soundcheck before, but I have this thing where I just think the Grammys are too big. There are 82 categories this year, and Jay-Z leads the nominations, but all of his nods are kind of like in the hinterlands of the awards and not in the center. I think it really speaks
best engineering, non-classical, recorded on a weekend.
And the Grammy goes too. But yeah, I mean, I think it really speaks to the power of brand names. Those really go a long way with the people who do the nominations and the voting for the Grammy Awards. And that's why you have something like, you know, Led Zeppelin nominated for Best Rock Performance from a live album that was recorded in 2007.
Yeah.
So the brand name appeal totally applies to Jay-Z. This year, he's really put himself forward as a brand more than anything else. Magna Carta Holy Grail was kind of presented or rolled out as this promotional vehicle for a brand of mobile phones, as we all remember. And it just seemed like maybe Jay-Z could have been making this grand, like, Warholian statement about commerce and art, but that was not reflected in the incredibly boring lyrics on this record, and this whole thing kind of confounds me, as the Grammys tend to do.
Well, now these 9 nominations for Jay-Z include his appearance on the Justin Timberlake album, The 2020 Experience, and it too got snubbed in the major categories.
Yeah, I think we're in this sort of weird decentralized place. And the major categories, I think what you see is the folks doing the voting and nominating are trying to grab onto new artists. That's exciting. But then at the same time, it just feels just a little bit off. And the biggest glaring omission, in my opinion, would be Kanye West's Yeezus. This is a record that has like so much critical acclaim and has generated so much discussion this year. And it's nowhere to be found in the Album of the Year category, which was a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. In fact, only got a single nomination for Best Rap Album.
Uh-huh, honey. What you doing in the club on a Thursday? She said she only here for a girl birthday. They order champagne but still look thirsty. Rock Forever 21 but just turned 30.
You mentioned, you know, that the voters, the nominators are sort of clutching at the new artists. This seems to be one of the big stories, is the new artist known as Lorde, 17-year-old New Zealander with, you know, perhaps the song of the year. It's been at the top of the charts for a long time, called Royals, and yet she was not nominated for Best New Artist. How does that happen?
I don't know. I thought that was a lock. I thought she'd be a lock for the winner, but she is nominated for Record of the Year and Song of the Year with Royals. The one thing about the nomination concert that I thought was helpful to the general American public is we now know officially that her name is pronounced Lorde and the E is silent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have everyone coming up to me going, what's up with this Lorde? So now we know how to pronounce her name, but I still think she is very capable of having a huge night at the Grammys. The song Royals has been everywhere, and it seems like a likely winner for either or both of those categories.
All right. We're speaking with Chris Richards, music writer for The Washington Post. And Lorde sang this song on Friday night's telecast for the Grammy nominations. It's called Royals.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be wrong.
Royals.
It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Royals from Lorde, the 17-year-old New Zealander, nominated for Grammys in two of the big four categories, Song of the Year and Record of the Year, which, Chris, that's a songwriter award, right?
Yes, Song of the Year is for songwriting. Record of the Year is for the production and performance of the song.
Okay.
Always a kind of a confusing
delineation. Yeah. So it is possible to win one but not the other with the same song.
That is true. Or both, or neither.
Right.
Yeah.
But you expect this song from Lorde to do pretty well in one or two of those categories.
I gotta suspect so. It's one of those songs, to me, that people are talking about in line at the grocery store. It's reached that level of chit-chat. You hear it everywhere you go. I've heard it at shopping malls and car washes and all over the place. Yeah, car washes even. So it's just one of those tunes that's all over the place. So it seems like that kind of is a good harbinger of things to come for her.
All right. We're speaking with Chris Richards, who is a music writer for The Washington Post and apparently takes his car to the car wash on occasion. Let's talk about another of the big four categories, Chris. Album of the Year. What do you make of the nominees this year?
Well, Album of the Year, the first thing we should probably talk about is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Their album, The Heist, is up, and they are actually kind of the leaders in terms of these top four categories. They're nominated in three out of the four, and I think they could be a really big storyline coming out of the Grammys in January. The thing that's interesting about Macklemore and Ryan Lewis is that with ubiquity of their single Thrift Shop, they've kind of become recognized as a fresh new voice in hip-hop, but mm-hmm. also at the same time kind of rebuking a lot of the attitudes in hip-hop, which is something that Lorde's Royals also does.
Absolutely.
This is interesting because the Grammys have always had a very complicated relationship with hip-hop. Only two hip-hop records have ever won Album of the Year. They were by Lauryn Hill and Outkast. Every year, a lot of the hip-hop universe kind of feels like maybe they've been sort of cordoned off in the hip-hop categories and haven't been allowed to perform on the telecast as frequently as artists of other genres. This year, strangely, in the Converse, Drake was scheduled to perform at Friday night's nomination ceremony, but pulled out at the last minute. So there's always been kind of a tricky relationship between hip-hop music and the Grammys. And Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, their heavy nomination in these top four categories kind of speaks to that in an interesting way, since their music is both a part of this genre and kind of a criticism of it as well.
So they're nominated, as you say, in three of the four major categories, and in total have seven nominations, ranking them second behind Jay-Z. Do they have a chance to walk off with a whole bunch of statues?
I think it's pretty, again, this is another one of those grocery store artists. My demographics are all solely based on eavesdropping in line at the grocery store, clearly. But I do think like when pop music reaches that level where it is part of the discussion in public, that's when you're really seeing what popularity is all about. And I think the Grammys, they provide this kind of campfire moment in this world where all of our pop music is just splayed across this digital space and is so disorganized and kind of like this wild, wild west, which I personally love about the current state of things. I think we do still crave these sort of mass culture moments where we can all huddle around the same campfire and talk about the same thing. I'm not a huge fan of this album or their work, but I'm interested in their gravity and their magnetism as a group, as a duo that's kind of drawn a lot of people into the conversation about what hip-hop is in 2013.
Well, Thrift Shop is certainly a fun song that we heard a lot of in the past year, but Same Love, a song against homophobia, is certainly getting a lot of attention and, you know, seems to have resonated with a lot of the voters because that's nominated as well. Here is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring Mary Lambert.
If I was gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for 'em. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion, gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else.
Same Love is one of the two big hits from the album The Heist by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. This one featuring singer Mary Lambert. They have 7 nominations for the next Grammy Awards, including in 3 of the 4 major categories. The 56th annual Grammys will be held on January 26th. You can find a link to Chris Richards' piece in the Washington Post about the Grammy nominees at soundcheck.org. He's with us from the Washington Post studios in D.C. Chris, you were saying just before that, you know, looking at the kind of the pop music scene, you described it as the wild, wild west. And when you look at the nominees for Album of the Year, it is a pretty wild, a pretty eclectic bunch, isn't it?
It really is. You have someone like Taylor Swift, who is a household name with Red, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, who we just talked about. Kendrick Lamar, the rap rookie who's really enchanted a lot of people, is up with his official debut album, Good Kid, Mad City. And then Daft Punk with Random Access Memories, a really solid dance record from a very reliable group, although they've kind of been jumped in and out of the popscape in the past years. They kind of turn on and off. But this record, and then, of course, the artist that I bet you are leading me to next, is that correct?
Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, with the Blessed Unrest. That was kind of the big surprise for Album of the Year. This is her single Brave has been huge. But for me, it was like the whoa, you know, what's happening here? What were your thoughts on it, John? I'm curious about that.
This song is just everywhere. And I, you know, we've talked in the past about, you know, the kind of the ascendancy of the solo female singer in the pop music scene. And, you know, Sarah Bareilles, there's a type. There's a vocal type that she falls into, which can be very, can make you think so much of other pop singers who are at that level that they become sort of indistinguishable from one another at some point, which, you know, sort of defeats the whole point to me of being a fan of one musician rather than another.
Right. Interesting. That's an interesting point. The one thing I thought kind of interesting, too, is Brave, the single from this record that we're talking about, was co-written with the gentleman from Fun. I thought that was kind of an interesting way for Fun. I was reading back what happened at last year's Grammys, and Fun had a pretty big year. Yep. And thinking, what have they done this year? Well, this is kind of like, you know, backstage, staying involved in what's happening in the pop scene for Nate Ruiz of Fun.
Well, having just dissed Sarah Bareilles' Brave for being all over the place, here's a little more of it on Soundcheck.
Sometimes a shadow wins.
That is Brave, the ubiquitous hit from Sara Bareilles from her album The Blessed Unrest, which is a nominee for Album of the Year. We're speaking with Chris Richards of The Washington Post, whose piece about the Grammy nominees is at soundcheck.org. So, maybe we're both a little, on the fence about some of these artists, but you, Chris, are excited about one artist who has sort of come out of the country music scene. Tell us about Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, Kacey Musgraves. I'm such a huge fan. No matter how bleak the year's nominees look for any Grammy nomination year, there's always kind of a faint whiff of sanity somewhere. And this year, that's Best New Artist nominee Kacey Musgraves, who is a country singer. Her debut album, Same Trailer, Different Park, is my album of the year. I think it's just a phenomenal record. She's a very quietly innovative country singer who's really kind of talking about the where do we go now predicament that so many millennials, for lack of a better term, in her generation are facing right now. Taylor Swift, before her, was sort of recognized as this really relatable artist, a regular girl singing about regular things. Kacey Musgraves kind of takes that into adulthood. You know, she's one who's singing about being in your 20s and wondering and kind of staring down the difficulties of adulthood, especially like this bleak job market and all the other challenges that this generation is facing right now. The promise of America kind of looking sort of flimsy. That's all kind of very subtly packed into these very simple, very beautiful, eloquent songs. She sings in a very calm register, which to me sounds like the authority of speech, It's just, there's no kind of like vocal derring do, and it's just on point. I love this album.
And I think, Chris, that's what I was talking about before when I was talking about Sara Bareilles and the kind of vocal type. Kacey Musgrave certainly goes against type with this
yes.
record. The instrumentation, too, is often really surprising on this record.
Yeah, it's just very understated in a way that I found commanding. That's kind of the mystery of it. A lot of people I've played it for have been kind of like, oh, it goes right by me. But then if the second or third listen, it really starts to kind of sink its teeth into you. And there's this sort of like latent gravity to the instrumentation, to her vocal delivery, and of course the message of what she's saying. I think a lot of times we really view country musicians we talk about them almost specifically about what they're singing about, which is a huge part for what Kacey Musgraves is doing. But I think once you begin to listen to this album, the third, the fourth time, you really start to notice the sort of undertow in the arrangements, in the instrumentation, and it just gives it more gravitas all the way, I think.
Yeah. So you're hoping for a good night for her on January 26th.
Rooting for Kacey.
All right. Chris Richards, music writer for The Washington Post, with us on Soundcheck. Chris, nice talking to you again.
Always. Thanks a lot.
Here's a little bit from Kacey Musgraves. Follow Your Arrow.
You don't save yourself from marriage. You're a horrible person. If you won't have a drink, then you're a prude. But they'll call you a drunk as soon as you down the first one. If you can't lose the weight, then you're just fat. But if you lose too much, then you're on crack.
Speaking of the Grammys, Bobby McFerrin has earned another Grammy nomination, this one for Best Instrumental Arrangement Accompanying Vocal. Another of those crazy categories we were talking about. It's for one of the songs on his latest album, Spirit You All. Now, Bobby joined us earlier this year to perform songs from that album live in our studio, and you can download a track from that session as part of our 12 Days of Soundcheck feature on soundcheck.org. Each weekday during the holiday season, we're giving you a free track recorded in our studio, and today, for just a few more hours, you can download this song, Joshua, performed by Bobby McFerrin and his band here at WNYC. Do That's Joshua by Bobby McFerrin and his band, recorded live in our studio, and you can download this track free from soundcheck.org today only. And during our 12 Days of Soundcheck series, check back every weekday for more free downloads on soundcheck.org. Coming up with 2013 winding down, it's time to look ahead to the new year. Music writer Melissa Locker joins us for a look at artists to watch in 2014. And later, a live performance from the New York singer and composer Joseph Koechler. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. One of the hardest parts, but also one of the most fun parts of being in the music world is keeping an eye out for the next big thing. Inevitably, at this time of year, we start wondering what the new year will bring in terms of breakout artists. And joining me here in the studio is Melissa Locker, who recently identified some acts to watch in 2014 for Time Magazine. Melissa, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get right to the top of your list. Who is Diane Birch?
Diane Birch is a young woman who grew up kind of all over the world. Her father was a Seventh-day Adventist preacher, and she traveled the world. But then she got her big break when she was in a hotel lobby in Los Angeles and was plunking around on the piano, and Prince walked by, heard her, and famously invited her back to his house, not for breakfast, but to play. Wow. And that was kind of her big break.
So is she, I mean, does she sound like Prince?
Not at all. She actually sort of sounds like Fleetwood Mac.
Really?
Or it sounds like she's listened to a lot of Fleetwood Mac, and it may have influenced her. But that not to say she's derivative in any way. She's fantastic. She's a singer-songwriter, lives in Brooklyn now, and her new sophomore album is truly good.
So you think she'll be like a breakout artist for the new year?
I could see her fitting in kind of an edgier Norah Jones slot.
All right, let's hear a little bit from Diane Birch. The song's called All the Love You Got.
I sit and wonder where you've gone. Have you found a head to ground that stays under when you push it down? Sit and ponder what went wrong. Was I too emotional? Too many puzzles for your simple soul. Does she let you sleep when she's awake? Does she close her eyes and pay the asking price? Does she suffer with a smile? Take a penny for a soul. It's all part of loneliness. Drinks the honey of your promises. Does she know that's all the love you got?
All the love you got. That's all the love.
That is Diane Birch. All the Love You Got, and Melissa Locker thinks 2014 will be the year of Diane Birch. She's off to a good start, having been plucked out of literally a hotel lobby by Prince. When would you play a record like this?
I think that she's Sunday brunch music, driving around late night, just something where you just need kind of a steady groove but aren't necessarily going to want to rock out.
If you want something with a bit more high-energy groove, would you go to somebody like Kalala?
Possibly, although No No No, who we may discuss later, is the perfect high-energy blend of music. Like, you turn that song on and you just start smiling.
That's another of the Swedish musical exports.
Exactly. And Sweden and Scandinavia in general knows pop music better than anybody. And I could talk about that for 3 hours straight.
Please don't. back to Kalala. She is on this Saints record label. That's the indie label run by Solange Knowles, Beyoncé's sister.
Right. And Solange put out kind of Saint Heron, its compilation. And one of the artists that she featured is this woman named Kalala, who previously had a standout track on another mixtape. That it was one of those songs where you're listening to a mixtape, the song comes on, and you just kind of stop what you're doing and stare at your iPod for a minute. She claims she wants to sound like Brandy, but weirder, and she really pulls it off.
So far, a kind of a mixtape hero.
Right. But I think this is going to be her big breakout year. She's getting a lot of buzz from some pretty big names, and I think that 2014 could be the year of Kalala.
Kalala is her name. The song's called Go All Night.
Stayed up talking all night. Take my body, it's so late. Dive, but we go all night. Baby, I won't pass up.
Is Kalala and a song called Go All Night, a little R&B that also has kind of a late night mood to it.
I think the
it?
Title says it all about that song. It's definitely a nighttime song.
We're speaking with Melissa Locker, who writes for outlets like Time and has recently written an article about bands and musicians to watch for in 2014. You can find the full article and her full list at soundcheck.org. On to Drowners, kind of a Britpop sound here.
They really have a Britpop sound, which you can't really blame them for when you find out the lead singer is actually from England, so it makes sense. But I had the pleasure of listening to their demo tapes a while ago, and it was an instant hit for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that they got signed to French Kiss and that their new album's coming out.
So the album is due the end of January.
Yes.
Another possible breakout artist for the new year called Drowners. That is Drowners, band out of Brooklyn. Love Me, Hold Me Down is the name of it. Is this going to be on the new record?
I believe this was the first single off the new record. It's one of the few songs from them that is out there and mm-hmm. can be found on the internet.
All right. On to another possible breakout artist for the new year, and that is Chance the Rapper, who has a little bit of a track record.
Yeah, he's had a few mixtapes, and he's starting to get a lot of buzz. He was also featured on a Lil Wayne mixtape, and he kind of showed him up on that mixtape, if you ask me. He's a Chicago teenager. He may have just turned 20, but he's really kind of reinventing the hip-hop game right now.
How so?
He's not rapping over hooks. He's rapping over sort of this kind of acid, psychedelic jazz. It's a really different feel. It's him and a guy named Joey Badass, I think, are kind of going to be changing the direction of what we're hearing out of hip-hop lately. Mm. And it's really just kind of, it's almost chilled out, but his rhymes can't be stopped. They're incredible.
Chance the Rapper is his name, and this song's called Juice.
Thirsty, thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
Chatham's on. Foolie's glad I'm home. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my vagabond. Rapper, song, singer, suspended, subpoena. From misdemeanors, dreamer, held back asses. Loki still a deer. And I still shake a bow squat. Praying for my broke. Got city on the come up. Shot that Sosa. Shot my fat trail. Shot my Joseph. Playing Buenos Aires while they sleeping Buenos Noches. Wonder if I wrote this. Cause it's so crisp. The most brokest gold stockbroker when I solstice. I could win an Oscar. Russian accent Husky. Acid addict, Carsley, avid actor.
I got the juice.
song's called Juice from Chance the Rapper, out of Chicago. He's on Melissa Locker's list of artists to watch in the new year. Again, find her Complete Times article and list at soundcheck.org. She's with us here in the Soundcheck studio. So could this guy be the next Kendrick Lamar, or is he more likely to be the next Danny Brown, you know, the Detroit rapper? Who's...
My guess is that he could go the Kendrick Lamar route, where he's going to be a little more like, except like Danny Brown's wild and out there. And
yes,
like, I love him, but you get in a room with him and he's just out of control. Kendrick is, you know, a little more maintained, a little more just, you know, he's got it all together.
Well, we're kind of Danny Brown fans around here. And Soundcheck listeners, you can check out our live session with Danny Brown on the website at soundcheck.org. All right, but back to your list of artists to watch in the new year. Wild Ones.
Wild Ones are a band out of Portland that I'm going to guess most people have not heard of. But Portland, Oregon comes from, I'm from there, so I have a good ties to the community or whatever, but I really feel like that this Wild Ones are kind of going to be the next band to break out from the Portland scene. And as everyone into music knows, Portland has a really good scene.
Right.
And it has for years.
The Decembrists and, well, I mean, I'm not going to start down the list. It's quite a long list and, you know, goes back a long period of time. So is Wild Ones representative of real Portland or Portlandia Portland?
I'm going to go with real Portland.
All right. The song is called Golden Twin from Wild One. So Wild Ones from Portland on Melissa Locker's list of artists to watch in the new year. So is Lizzo. Who is Lizzo?
I hesitate to call her just a rapper because she really is kind of an incredible performer out of Minneapolis. She Minneapolis actually has a really long history of inventive kind of hip-hop.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she is really tapping into that and branching out. She just got sent on tour with Harmar Superstar, so she's definitely not your standard, like, run-of-the-mill, like, hip-hop artist.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that Doomtree Collective
exactly.
out there.
And one of the guys from there actually produced the album.
So, the debut album is called Lizzo Bangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's out now. There's a kind of a weird video that goes with this song, right? Batches and Cookies?
Yes.
Care to describe it for our listeners, or should we just send
like
them to your article?
I feel like people should go to the web. Yeah. I feel like people need to experience it for themselves, and if I try to describe it, I'm just going to do it a disservice.
All right. The song is called Batches and Cookies from the Minneapolis rapper who goes by the name Lizzo.
Batches and cookies, I got my batches and cookies, I got my batches and cookies, I got my batches and cookies, got my batches and cookies, I 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 got my batches and cookies, got my batches and cookies, I got my batches and cookies, I got my batches and cookies, I got my remember that gooey gooey you took and said ooey ooey. I need two or two of these for my baby booey ooey. Floating like boobies, now you got a nice pair like some boobies. And you high up that doobie doobie with your mystery machine.
Scooby.
Feeling bad where you should be, BB don't make nothing cheapy.
Oopsie.
Hanging with them creepy creepies that sit in them bathroom peepees. Looking holy holy while looking through them holy holies. Holy guacamole, you got that gooey, now you a phony.
That is really inventive use of the whistle, you know, of whistling.
Right, no, she's great. I feel like there are artists like Krayshawn who, like Gucci Gucci, but I feel like she was much more novelty, and I feel like Lizzo is a real deal who's going to really kind of change how people perceive female MCs.
Hmm. So Minneapolis rapper Lizzo, her song is called Batches and Cookies, another artist to watch in the new year. Okay, so now finally we come back to Sweden and this three-piece band called No No No. Now the Swedes, they have dominated the American pop charts for years now, behind the scenes as producers and writers for the most part. Although going back to ABBA, there's a long tradition of very popular music from Sweden. Where does No 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 lie on the the pop spectrum.
I feel like No 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 are going to be the next pop overlords. Their song is, they don't have an album out. They don't even really have an EP out. But their song, Pumped Blood, is everywhere. And you don't even necessarily know it. It's in so many commercials. It's gotten so many syncs already that they have already slowly started their takeover of the universe.
So 2014, likely to be the year of No No No.
Yeah, and honestly, they deserve it. The lead single, Pumpin' Blood, is so good. It's so catchy. The second it comes on, everyone in the car sort of starts, you know, whistling and tapping their feet. It's great.
All right, so New York has the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Sweden has No No No. And we've had Melissa Locker with us here in the studio. Find her full article for Time about bands to watch in the new year on our website at soundcheck.org. Melissa, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, speaking of 2014, it'll be a year to look out for Joseph Koeckler. The downtown performance artist joins us for, how shall I put it, an unusual session in the Soundcheck studio. That's next.
Beh, c'è stato il trip di funghi del 2007. Ero a casa a provare per un'opera quando mi chiamarono.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This may sound like traditional opera, but for those of you who are not Italian speakers out there, let me translate for you. This classically trained bass baritone is singing about a bad trip that he took, a bad shroom trip. It's the kind of absurd mashup that's the hallmark of New York performance artist Joseph Koeckler. The Village Voice named him the best downtown performance artist of 2013, though it quickly acknowledged the title couldn't do justice to all of Koeckler's talents. His show, I Am an Opera, includes storytelling, cabaret-style singing, and multimedia. He joins me here in the studio to perform some songs and stories. Here is Joseph Koeckler, live on Soundcheck.
I have a feeling that a man in a Lincoln Town Car is going to pull up outside your house and call you on your cell phone and say, I'm here. And you, being puzzled but also curious, will probably go outside to see who he is. But then when you catch a glimpse of him through the slightly tinted passenger side window, you'll have second thoughts. But then he'll roll down the window, and he will say to you this. Ich will
So you get in the car.
That is Joseph Koeckler with a fragment of Schubert's famous song, Death and the Maiden. And it sounds like it's been woven into a particularly creepy story, which is the sort of thing Joseph Koeckler has become known for here in New York. That was Joseph speaking and singing with Dan Bartfield on violin, Matt Ray playing our piano. Joseph, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
So what is going on with this song, with its kind of oddly peaceful, you know, the final line, sleeping
right.
in your arms.
Right.
Where is this in the context of whatever the story is about this guy driving up in the Lincoln Town Car and calling for you?
Well, this is related to the song that I'll do later, the ride thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of this, I thought, well, what if there were a Charon-like figure, you know, who
ferries you across the River Styx.
Takes the dead across the River Styx. And I said, you know, well, what if we recontextualize that and it was somebody driving a gypsy cab or, you know...
or a Lincoln Town Car.
A Lincoln Town Car, somebody in a car service who pulls up and then...
Well, folks can go to our website and see your video for that song, The Ride.
Right.
And it does begin with a mysterious figure pulling up in a car.
Yes.
Calling you and you getting in. Even mm-hmm. though this guy looks really, really weird. who is that guy?
So that guy is Edgar Oliver, who's a New York staple. He's a New York treasure, I would say. He's a monologuist and poet and storyteller who has a very distinctive voice.
Yes, he has a very strange kind of gothic... Southern Gothic.
Southern Gothic, but it's kind of this accent that only he has. And his sister also has the same one. But I think she has a little more pep or something.
Yeah. And in The Ride, as we'll hear when you do it for us in a moment, you do sing in English. How did you get into, I mean, Shroom Trip Opera, you know, the Bad Shroom Trip that we heard a little bit of, the Schubert Death and the Maiden in German. How did you get to singing all this classical material?
Well, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a blues singer. Mm-hmm. And so but I was always drawn to...
This will be an interesting answer.
Of, dirges, you know, and I kind of treated them in, I guess, a kind of operatic way unwittingly. And so I would just, you know... sing like Gloomy Sunday or St. James Inferno. I mean, like from the time I was like 11, you know, I was singing I was like a Cab Calloway impersonator when I was 9. I had backup dancers and I was singing Minnie the Moocher, you know,
okay.
in fourth
so
grade.
No
and
new
so,
kids on the block for you. You were.
No,
you...
no, it was Screamin' Jay Hawkins, Bessie Smith.
Really?
You know, yes.
Folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. A hide, a hide, a hide, a hide.
Hide, 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 hide.
And so I wanted to be a androgynous white blues singer, but I couldn't really make it through a song without. I could make it through one song, and then I couldn't sing another song because I would have like shot my voice by the time I.
So you had to take some kind of.
So I started to take voice lessons in Kalamazoo, and so then I started being introduced to some operatic. Repertoire, and then as the years went on, I studied more and more, you know, and also studied that in college. And
all right, so that's how you got into classical singing. How did you get out of classical singing?
Well, I was never fully in because I trained as a visual artist, and but I would go over and take voice lessons with George Shirley, who was a tenor. You know, he's the first black tenor at the Met,
right?
Actually, he's amazing. And so I would, you know, study with him, but I was kind of based in the art school, and I was sort of, I like to say, socialized as an artist. So there was
I'm not
this...
sure what that means, but okay.
Well, just that I didn't, I mean, the prospect of like going and auditioning for something seemed kind of absurd to me somehow. I mean, I was trained as a creative, I don't know, that's how I think of myself. And
when you had a creative idea, you just carried it out. You just did it.
Yeah, and so at certain points I was encouraged to become an opera singer, and I kind of made attempts, and I think maybe I have become one in my own way, you know, but
right.
I've never been good at audition. I always feel like some sort of fraud.
Mm.
When I go to an audition or something.
Well, your show that's beginning in January is not called I Am an Opera Singer. It's called I Am an Opera.
Right.
Opening January 11th for a two-week run at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery.
Yeah.
So what is that title? I mean, unpack that for us.
Okay. I have done a lot of different... I've done a lot of work that is more like in the vein of semi-abstract personal essay and narrative, and then I have the singing thing, and at a certain point I decided, okay, let me combine these things,
mm-hmm.
and let me take sort of mundane episodes from my life and channel them through faux opera.
Right.
You know.
So did you in fact have a bad mushroom trip?
I did in fact. Accidentally.
Uh-huh. And did you find yourself speaking Italian during this bad shroom trip?
I was speaking in tongues during
that's the trip. Not the same thing, is it?
To some people, it is.
So how much autobiography? I mean, you want to be creative, and you also want to be careful to keep some stuff private, right?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not very confessional with my work. It's not about confession. It is. Okay, like in the show, there's a strange creature who comes. That didn't technically happen. But most of the rest is strictly autobiographical.
Mm.
But I think that the exercise for me was to try to take something that seemed insignificant, that wasn't... I mean, the shroom trip was intense, but it also sounds sort of cliche and like, you know...
Until you sing it in Italian, and then
right.
it sounds like Don Giovanni.
Yeah, so to try to take these things and heighten them,
yeah.
you know, so it could be... I mean, the first aria I wrote was about having this day job working for a guy who sold pirated opera recordings. And so I was sitting there every day, like, doing data entry and copying these DVDs for fanatics who wanted them. And... also listening to these opera recordings.
Right.
And so then I decided, okay, I'm going to make an aria from this. Instead of a monologue about this job I'm going to make, and the refrain was, I copy them. So it meant like the singers that I heard, but also I am sitting there duplicating CDs.
So you were a pirate.
I was on the ship of the pirate,
yes.
but I was not the pirate myself.
Joseph Koeckler is my guest here on Soundcheck. All right, you mentioned this song, The Ride, and I mentioned that this video, which is really striking looking, is at soundcheck.org. Is this part of I Am an Opera? Has this been woven into the new show?
Yeah, that is actually
okay, and
part
it's sort
of it. But it's the, you know, the less operatic
yeah.
Thing.
And it kind of follows on from the first song that you did for us. So
yeah.
This is actually getting into the car and seeing what happens.
Exactly.
All right, let's hear it. Joseph Koeckler is with us on Soundcheck. His show, I Am an Opera, will have a two-week run opening on January 11th at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery. Once again, he is singing. Dan Bartfield is playing violin. Matt Ray is at the piano. Here's a live performance of The Ride.
Bring me down. Do you agree? Okay, drive me around town. Tonight, hunger fills my cheeks. Why can't we stop somewhere? Why won't you speak to me? I don't understand myself. Why did I hide away? I was a drunk child today. Now we ride away tonight.
Joseph Koechler, live on Soundcheck, singing, and Dan Bartfield is playing violin. Matt Ray is at the piano. The Ride is the name of that song. You can see a video of it on our website, soundcheck.org. Once again, Joseph Koechler's show, I Am an Opera, opening a two-week run at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery beginning on January 11th. That song will be a part of it. And man, Joseph, people listening in could be forgiven for thinking that we've pulled a fast one on them and invited different singers into the studio here today. I mean, you've got the kind of the operatic bass baritone thing.
Right.
But then you've got this beautiful, almost Antony and the Johnsons-like falsetto thing. You said before you wanted to be a blues singer. Turns out you've turned out to be anything, everything, but is there a blues singer in there somewhere still?
Well, I can play blues piano, but I like to sing blues songs. I don't know if the singing is bluesy.
Mm.
It's, you know, perhaps...
It's,
you know,
whatever this
something
is.
Something else, but...
So how do you... Yeah. I mean, for people who say, you know, what do? You say, I'm a musician, I'm a singer? What do you say?
I say I'm a singer and an artist, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a conundrum. It's an ongoing conundrum.
Yeah. But a happy one. I mean, you seem to do all these things really well and find inventive ways of putting them together. The Village Voice, as I mentioned earlier, naming you the best downtown performance artist of 2013. Does that term work for you, performance artist?
As long as I'm the best.
I Am an Opera. Joseph Koechler's show begins on January 11th. I Am an Opera runs for 2 weeks at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery. Check out his music videos. We've got both Shroom Trip Opera and The Ride on our website, soundcheck.org. Joseph, thank you so much for coming in and playing for us.
Hey, thank you so much for having us, Jen.
Daddy, Daddy, I'm so happy just to walk with you and to talk to you and to thrill you. Daddy, will you just hold my hand?
Tomorrow on the show, the Brooklyn chamber pop band San Fermin is named after that festival in Spain where the bulls famously run through the streets once a year. The group released a debut EP this year, and they'll stop by our studio to play some of it live. By the way, folks, be part of the 2014 Battle of the Boroughs. As long as we're looking ahead to next year, the Green Space will host, as it usually does, this five-borough battle in which WNYC looks for up-and-coming performers of all genres. The deadline for entry is December 31st. Rules and details are at wnyc.org/thegreenspace. That does it for today's show. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.